We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. A texter says, Mark, Sarah for Vanderbilt, there's a video of her kicking a full length of a soccer field and getting an assist. If she had months of practice kicking a football, she could kick it out of the end zone. I don't doubt that. I don't doubt that at all. I wish she had gotten a chance to kick a field goal. We had a texter tell us, or a caller tell us earlier, that in the pregame, she wasn't really doing much in terms of getting the kicks off the ground. He said they were really low to the ground. Some of them went in, but they were just really, really, really low kicks. Mark, don't ever disrespect my future ex-wife. Her name is Naya with a long I. Well, on this show, she's Nia. LOL, the TX experience on the text line. If it's wrestling, I will go out of my way to try to offend Lonzo in every way. Anyway,
your snootiness knows no bounds.
Yes, no,
you embarrass the entire station with your wrestling dislike.
Let's hear the best thing we heard today. Now, Matt Campbell, love this guy, and I'm told we have this right now. Matt Campbell in the locker room after Ohio State beat Oklahoma and Texas in the same season for the first time ever.
To tell you is this, you're teaching the world that in this sport, college football, toughness, discipline, and detail still matter. That's your platform. Your platform is, it is team above self. That's the platform that you're using. And nobody wants to buy into that in our culture today. Okay? Our culture says, it's all about me. Our culture says, screw process. I want instant gratification. But here's a fact, and young guys, listen to me. If you fall in love with the process, then eventually, Ogie, eventually the process will love you back. But see, here's what's crazy about that. You don't know when it's going to love you back. Okay? All you have to do is you got to be.
Is that it?
No, but it stopped playing.
Okay. The words of Matt Campbell, and I love it, and I totally agree with what he's saying. And J.C. Horn and Israel McQuamu represent the me-first culture that Matt Campbell was saying none of his players do. And I by quitting on the season, and I what did I do this time?
I wanted to give you a minute or a second to talk about the clip before I did this. You said Ohio State. Instead of Iowa State.
Oh, Iowa State. There you go. Tony Reale.
The reason why I'm doing this is because the listeners are going to get you if I
okay,
don't.
Okay, no, so. There you go. It's all good. I like having one flag a show. You guys can always throw the offside flag on Lonzo or myself just simply by requesting it. And it is yours. I love that guy, by the way. And I love what he's built, and I love how they're buying in. You know, Iowa State, I almost did it again. Wow. Iowa State, they don't have talent there. They don't have a ton of talent. Purdy is their quarterback. He sure is Purdy, isn't he? They don't have much. They really don't have much. Louisiana is one of only two teams that have beaten the Cyclones this year. And they play in Ames. They've been the redheaded stepsister in that Iowa-Iowa State relationship for a very, 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 very long time. This year, they're going to the Big 12 championship game. They will ultimately be there. I think they're going to get Oklahoma. I think there's going to be a rematch. And Oklahoma should be favored in that game by sheer talent, right? But they're going to be there, and they're going to be there because of Matt Campbell. And you want to talk about realistic candidates? He's not one. But if he was one, that would be the no-brainer hire for the South Carolina Gamecocks, what he's done there. I always give a tip of the cap to people who win in areas where they don't normally do that, right? Matt Campbell not only is doing that, he is doing that consistently in Ames, Iowa. All right, 1-844-477-3776. That number again is 1-844-GSP-ESPN. Is that number. You can get to us via the text line at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. Twitter is there for you as well, at Lonzo on Word, at Mark Ryan on Air. That's at M-A-R-C Ryan on Air, and at ESPN Upstate. If you follow us on our station account, we'll give you a shout-out here live on the show. And then finally, you can email the show, Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All of the different ways you can be in touch with the most interactive sports radio show in the state of South Carolina. All right, so if you were a prime coaching candidate this year in college football, would you be interested in the Gamecocks open position? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this at 71307 on the text line, just starting your text with the word ESPN, aforementionedly, and away you go. Here's why you would be potentially. Here's what the job has going for it. Here are the selling points in the Gamecocks position. You have, number one, a fan base that really cares. They care to the point of leading the nation in ejections from Williams-Brice Stadium, but they really, 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 really care. They're very, very passionate. I've always said, you know, like I've always been intrigued at the market for sports media of Philadelphia, because that market, they are the hardest. They call it the city of brotherly love. What, did they knock out Santa Claus with snowballs at an Eagles game one time? But I've always been intrigued with that market from a sports media perspective, because the people there to the hosts are ruthless. Like, you guys are nice to me. You're nice to Lonzo because of Southern hospitality, for the most part, right? Because there's this wonderful thing called Southern hospitality. They have the Grinch cold, frozen cold hearts up there in Philadelphia. But I've been fascinated by that, right? And you know, there's a little bit of that angst, a little bit of that anger going on in Columbia, South Carolina right now. But I'd rather have you unruly, I'd rather have you a little bit uncouth, than be indifferent. Vanderbilt has a whole different problem than the Gamecocks right now. Vanderbilt's biggest problem is indifference, and sometimes you can't overcome indifference. The Gamecocks don't have the indifference problem. Number two, South Carolina has elite facilities, top five in America. Barbershop inside the football building, recording studio inside the football building. Hootie and the Blowfish tie-in to Darius Rucker, Deion Sanders tie-in. You know, you got big names, you got great uniforms, you play in the best league in all of the land. So yeah, a fan base that cares, great facilities, you play in the best conference, and you have very, very low expectations. And that matters. You know, if the Gamecocks could just get a coach that could go 8-4 year after year after year, you'd have a contract for life, right? You might be disappointed that you're never better than 8-4, but you damn sure wouldn't fire a coach that went 8-4, right? Because of the history at that particular school. Low expectations, 100%, makes the job more attractive because it's more conducive to your health as a head coach. You don't have people breathing down your neck. Why not? Why wouldn't you take the job at South Carolina? Number one, for me anyway, very limited state talent. This state is producing four and five-star players a year. Mississippi, fewer people in the state of Mississippi than South Carolina is producing 8. Louisiana, fewer people than the state in South Carolina is producing 13. 13 to 8 to 4 per year, 4 and 5 star players. You better start building that network regionally. You better be able to go into homes in Tennessee, in North Carolina, in Georgia, in Florida, in Arkansas, in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama. You better be able to make your brand a regional brand. And then number two, and this is the hard part, the prestige of the program has really declined. And the proof of that is Lonzo and all these other Gamecock fans saying something that's really sad. They're saying, anyone, who cares if we don't hire a coach with anything resembling experience? Who cares if we hire Shane Beamer? Anything's better than Muschamp. That is the saddest thing I have ever heard in my life. Hire the right coach. Hire the right coach, not the feel-good coach. Hire the right coach. I'm not in the interview with Shane Beamer. Maybe if I was, he would knock my socks off. Maybe if I was, I would come to the conclusion that he's the right guy. But I'll tell you, he would have a steep hill to climb with me because I'd be looking at the experience of a Sarkisian, of a Scott Satterfield, and of a Billy Napier. I'd be looking at the experience of those guys, and I'd be saying, that counts to me, man. That really does. Lonzo, if you are an up-and-coming coaching candidate, say you're right around the age of 40, right, where life gets good again, do you look at this job? Do you not look at this job? Are you above South Carolina?
If you're up and coming, absolutely. You got to start somewhere, or you need to advance your career to the next level, and that's the place to go. You're playing in the SEC, as you talked about, all the great facilities. You've got an awesome fan base, a fan base that cares. You've got everything that you need to succeed. You just have to bring a winning attitude and be willing to teach people that winning attitude because they've forgotten it.
I think I would be interested in the Gamecocks job if I was an up-and-coming personality. And, you know, would I stay at South Carolina long-term? Depends how they treated me. But I do think, you know, I answer the question in the affirmative, are the Gamecocks a sleeping giant in football? Because I do believe they have a ceiling at minimum of being an annual top 15 team. I believe minimally that is the ceiling at South Carolina. All right, let's get to some sound here throughout the sports world coming here today. Heather Dinich on Jim Harbaugh. Boy, losing to winless Penn State over the weekend and really him being on the outs right now in Ann Arbor.
I don't know how. I don't know how they can bring him back. Now, that being said, it's not my decision. It's not my wallet. But you would think that behind the scenes, those boosters who are paying for those, helping pay for those overseas trips, I would imagine, are having a voice in this, right? And money talks. So then the question becomes, if they do part ways, either amicably and he goes to the NFL or it's a messy divorce, then who do you turn to, right? And obviously the hot names, I think, are Matt Campbell. He's always one of the top coaching choices out there whenever you see this coaching carousel get started. And, of course, Luke Fickell, who's done a great job at Cincinnati. You know, I don't know the ins and outs of their specific contracts. I'll be quite honest, I don't know the buyout status for Jim Harbaugh as I sit here talking about it. But when you see what he has not done on the field, I think that time for a change, and when Brian Griese starts talking about it, that's when the sirens are going off.
So says Heather Dinich. Coming up next, we'll talk about all of the Gamecocks coaching updates and where we are with the search with Chris Phillips of the Spurs Up Show. That's next right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All All right, Chris Phillips joins us right now on the line. Chris, you and I are going to butt heads here, man, so put up your dukes. All right, I'll be Jake Paul. You can be Nate Robinson. All right, we're gonna have some fun here, my man.
Wait! What an apt description. You're Jake Paul.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. A superstar knocked Nate Robinson's ass cold out. Let's see here, Chris. So, I feel like if Shane Beamer's the guy, and I agree with you, it's a matter of when, not if. I feel that's an incredibly sad sign for Gamecock football, that the best they can do is a guy who's never been a head coach before. And I know Dabo Swinney is the same way, but it seems to me like they're getting ready to throw their Dabo Swinney Hail Mary. Is this really the best they can do? Should you be listening to alumni to make your next hire for you? Good gosh, Chris, allow me to save you from yourself.
Well, I guess, okay. Well, Mark, first of all, appreciate you bringing me on. Obviously, always a pleasure. I don't know if I'd agree with the Jake Paul and Nate Robinson thing, seeing that I would be willing to bet I'm taller than you are. So we might have to meet you, Nate Robinson, and me, Jake Paul, seriously. So you talk about this coaching search, of course. Here's the thing. I would counter with this first and foremost. Who are the best options in your mind? Because if your short list is what I've seen of Neil Brown, Billy Napier, Jamie Chadwell, I feel like we're splitting hairs when we talk about Shane Beamer amongst those guys. So you really think they're that much better of hires? Because I don't think – I look at all of those guys, and here's the thing, because I think people come to me and they ask me, who is your number one pick who you want to be the head coach? Surprisingly enough, there's not many guys outside of really Jeff Munkin that I've looked at and said, absolutely not, I would hate to hire. I look at all the guys I just mentioned and said, they're all going to be a risk. You're rolling the dice on. I understand Billy Napier's a head coach at Louisiana. I understand Neil Brown won at Troy. I understand Jamie Chadwell won at Charleston Southern and Coastal. But who really cares? Do recruits really care? Is that a guarantee they're going to win at South Carolina? So I think it's rolling the dice either way. And I don't think normally the voices of the alumni, of the guys like Marcus Lattimore, DJ Swearinger, Garcia, DeMarco, not just any alumni, by the way, the best Gamecocks to ever wear the garnet and black. I don't think normally that would really matter. But to me, Mark, unless you're Ray Tanner and Bob Castle on the search committee and whoever else, and you're behind closed doors, and a guy like a Napier or a Chadwell or a Brown just crushes the interview, and it is without a doubt you leave that meeting and say, this guy without a doubt is the best option. We can't hire anybody else. Why wouldn't you roll the dice on the guy that everybody's behind? If you're really just splitting hairs at that point, if you're really – because that's how I feel.
I don't view it as splitting hairs. But before we get
now,
to all
if
that,
you want to no, say wait a minute, few wait a minute, threes wait a minute. Or, you know.
Yeah. What's the very latest, Chris, that you're hearing? Is this thing done?
I think it's pretty darn close. You know, the rumors started swirling this weekend as far as financial numbers, 4 years, $3 million per, and I feel like, it's not over by any means. I've heard Neil Brown's name come back up, who's at West Virginia right now. And, of course, Jamie Chadwell and Napier, those are the other names floating around, I think, that are most seriously in consideration. But when you start hearing rumblings of financial numbers, I think it's about as done can get. I think it's actually a lot closer to being a done deal than I expected this early on. I didn't think we'd really start hearing stuff like that until probably middle or late next week. So, if I had to put money on it, I would say Shane Beamer's probably going to be your next head coach if I had to gamble on it. So,
yeah, and when, and you said it could be almost done, so you're expecting maybe sometime this week this is wrapped up then?
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. And I think for South Carolina, I think one of the reasons if you do see it happen this week is they want to try to go ahead and get out on the recruiting tree. I mean, I know you saw South Carolina lose like five or six guys last week, and your recruiting class right now is ranked, I think, 91st in the country. And that's going to happen when you fire a head coach, especially middle of the season and with the early signing period. But I think they're trying to get somebody in there to salvage whatever little bit you can of this recruiting class. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I think they're moving quickly. And I would say, if I could say anything to Tanner or Castle, whatever, hey, as soon as you think you got the guy, pull the trigger, whatever. Because like I said, man, I just look at it different. There's no Steve Spurrier out there. It's just not a guy that it's a no-brainer hire. To me, I look at them all. There's pros and cons to every guy. And I'm not saying that Beamer doesn't have more risk than some of the other guys. I'm not saying that. But they're all a risk. There's no guarantee Billy Napier. Billy Napier got fired by Dabo from Clemson. I'd almost rather go with the Beamer option. At least we don't have that baggage. I mean, there's cons to every guy. None of them are guaranteed. Now, if you wanted to argue to me that Hugh Freeze is a lot better option than Beamer, that's an argument I'll listen to, Mark. I will listen to that argument all day because Hugh Freeze is one at another SEC school. something none of the other guys have done. Now, he has his own baggage and cons, and I don't think South Carolina would go that way. I don't even think he's a realistic option we're talking about at this point. But when I just look at the main short list of the Napiers and the Chadwells and the Neil Browns, like, I don't think Shane Beamer is that much worse of an option. And maybe I'll be wrong, and maybe those other guys I mentioned will go take other jobs and go win big. But I'm kind of looking at all those guys exactly the same. And at that point, if they're all the same, if you're truly splitting hairs, like I said, you have the option of the guy that he's cut his teeth at South Carolina. He has the support of all the greatest players to ever come through and guys that are in the league. And, I mean, I think that means something. And every former player that I've talked to, you know, I have these guys on my show, and I ask them all, what do you want to see in the next head coach? A culture fit, a guy who wants to be at South Carolina, a guy that it's his dream job. He wants to build something at Carolina. He understands. He knows what it takes to win. He was around when South Carolina had its most successful run. And that guy is Shane Beamer. So, again, normally I probably wouldn't put as much stock into what all these former players are saying, but I'll be honest with you, Mark, maybe it's wrong, right, wrong, or different. It's intoxicating. It's hard not to listen to Marcus Lattimore endorse the guy and DJ Swearinger and Pat DeMarco and Garcia. And the names go, I wonder what Connor Shaw thinks. I'd love to know what he thinks. He's on staff. We'll never know. But, you know, we'll see. But I think you're splitting hair with all these guys, man. Nobody's a guarantee right now, in my opinion. So.
Yeah, you know what? You know what, Chris? I just think Billy Napier has answered a lot of the question marks. You know, why do we care whether he butt heads with Dabo Swinney some years ago? I've done some digging on that. It's really hard to get that story as to what exactly happened there. Scott Satterfield, there's a lot of positive momentum around him at Louisville. I realize they're having a bit of a down year. Steve Sarkisian is viewed as an offensive genius. Jamie Chadwell, look at what he's doing at Coastal. You got to be blown away at that. Give me a guy who's been a coordinator, man. I just feel like, Chris, you know, I hear this by Lonzo. I hear this from other fans. I just have this feeling like anyone, I just get this sense that anyone is better than Muschamp. And, you know, if you're a single guy, you don't say, man, anyone would be better than being single. You wait for the right person to come along, right? It's better to be single than to be with the wrong person. It's better to just wait a while than to hire the wrong guy. You realize the road you're walking down, it's a completely unproven road, man. You're grabbing the chance card. You're grabbing the chance card. You're grabbing the chance card in Monopoly instead of the community chest, man. Don't do that.
I do love your analogy, by the way, Mark. I always love the relationship analogies because we all have experience there, and those are always very funny to me. But no, you're right, and I do want to say this, by the way, as well. What if, let's say it was Napier or Satterfield or Sark, dude, I'd be happy with all those guys. I'm not sitting here campaigning saying Beamer is the only choice. I guess, Mark, from my perspective, and again, because I think a lot of people, they saw how adamant I was of wanting a change from Will Muschamp, so they're saying they think I'm going to be quite as adamant about saying no to these other guys. And I'm like, I'm willing to give all these guys a chance. Even with Muschamp, man, I wasn't down on that hire when South kind of got him. I said, okay, they're going to roll the dice. Maybe he learned his lesson. I'm not going to be damning the guy the second he gets hired. I'm going to give you the opportunity. Like, go out there and show us what you can do. If you can go win ballgames, I don't care who the coach is. But obviously it gets to year four, and we saw what happened with Champ, and that's a whole different conversation that we've already had. But I want to make it clear, I wouldn't be upset if you got Napier. I wouldn't be upset if it was Chadwell, Satterfield, Sark, like you said. You know, if you want to roll the dice of Brown, whatever. But if it's going to be Beamer, I think the reason, Mark, again, just going back to it, the reason you keep hearing Beamer, the momentum is there because of the support from the former players. I think it's, and again, right, wrong, or indifferent, it's there. I think if you take that away, if nobody had said anything, maybe Beamer doesn't have quite the momentum that he has right now, but that's the reality of it. That's where we are. And he also got the vote of confidence from the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier, himself. So it's just the momentum's in his corner. But, hey, like I said, if Tanner and Castle on that search committee – if they talk with Napier or Satterfield or Chadwell and they feel like those guys are the best options, pull the trigger. I don't care. Like I said, I feel like we're kind of splitting hairs anyways. If you feel like that's the best option, go ahead. There's not really a guy, like I said, outside of Jeff Monken, which is not going to happen, that I'd be like, oh, my God, this is a terrible hire. So, you know, there are guys, like you said, that have more risk than others, but I think it's going to be a roll of the dice either way. And, you know, you probably are right. There's a little bit of that, hey, it's better than Muschamp, no matter who we hire. And that's, this fan base is a little damaged, Mark, as I'm sure you can attest. So
mental,
that's where we are.
Damage. Mental damage is what is going on right here. And it's sad, and I hope you guys, you're good enough, you're smart enough, and doggone it, people like you. And you need to realize that. So tell me what Shane Beamer does for you. Tell me what he's good at.
Yeah, I mean, as far as an offensive guy, I mean, he's been around a ton of great head coaches. Like I said, I want to preface by saying it's a risk. It's a major risk. Guy's never been a head coach. Guy's never been a major coordinator. But he's been around some of the best head coaches in the game. You know, I talked to a buddy of mine. I met up with him at halftime. He actually works for Georgia personnel, works under Kirby Smart, whatever, won't say his name, don't want to get him in trouble. But he knows Shane Beamer very well. He knows Mike Bobo very well, all those guys. He worked with Shane. He thinks Shane would be a great option for South Carolina just because he hasn't been a head coach. He's worked under some of the best, Steve Spurrier, Kirby, Lincoln. His father's a legend. I mean, we all know that. So he's been around the game. He knows the game. Guys that I've talked to, alumni, guys that played when he was at South Carolina, they talk about how enthusiastic he is, how much of a player's coach he is. He knows offense. I mean, you certainly think he knows offense. He's worked under some of the best offensive minds in college football. And the guy can recruit. He recruited when he was at South Carolina. Again, it's no guarantees because I think everything I'm telling you, Mark, there's something you can come back with. Well, he recruited under Steve Spurrier. How hard was it, right? It was a legendary head coach. How hard is it to get guys there? But as far as his track record, he's known as a legendary recruiter, recruited some of the best players ever to step foot on the field at South Carolina. So I think as far as the culture fit, I know people get tired of hearing me say that, but the culture fit as far as what he brings to Columbia, he cut his teeth at that program. He saw it at the height of the success. He understands the program, the fan base, the expectations, what it looks like when it's operating at a high level. And he's an offensive guy. I mean, there's certain things they wanted to find in this coaching search as far as an offensive guy, going to be spread up tempo, a lot more modern. That's the way you have to win in college football. So I think if it's Beamer, it's going to be more important who the coordinators are. I think that's going to be the big thing. Who does he bring to surround himself with? Because, again, it is going to be his first head coaching job, right? He's going to need help. So finding the right coordinator is going to be big. But, listen, I think Shane has the qualities. Again, is he ready for it? Is he ready to take the keys to a big-time SEC program and – you know, meet those expectations? I don't know. I don't know. But, again, I don't know if Napier would be or Chadwell or Satterfield or any guy. So, you know, you're going to be rolling the dice either way, I think.
Chris Phillips, Spurs Up Show. Great stuff, bud. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, Mark, appreciate you, man, always.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. A check on our text line here where you guys have been awesome today, man. Absolutely jamming us up on the text line, which I appreciate so, 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 so much. Mark, while I agree that it would be unfair to include Ohio State if they played fewer than six games, let's not forget what the goal of the committee is. Are you willing to tell me that Ohio State is not one of the best four teams in the country? No, I'm not willing to do that, although I think after the Indiana game, it's closer than a lot of people realize. I mean, Indiana had them biting their fingernails right at the end of the game. Indiana's a pretty good little team. We thought nobody in the Big Ten could touch Ohio State. Indiana touched them, and they touched them in a way Ohio State didn't like. But I understand your point as well. Here's what I would say. You know, if you haven't put in the time, you don't get to enjoy the fruits of that. You don't get to enjoy the fruits of the college football playoff. You know, when I got this job here, my boss said to me, "We think you're the best guy, but the corporate is mandating that we do an audition. You got to get through the audition process. Our GM wants to hear it. Steve Sinicropi, corporate wants to hear your audition. You got to do the audition." If I just said, "Hey, no, you've already told me I'm the best candidate. I don't need to do the audition. I'm not," then I don't get the job. You got to meet certain prerequisites in order to qualify. Because otherwise, do you really know that Ohio State is one of the four best teams in America? All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to do that jam. By the way, all sorts of postponements and changes going on right now. Lonzo, this is crazy, man. We've got Baltimore-Pittsburgh. We had it on the schedule to air on ESPN Upstate tomorrow night.
I personally think it's funny that you have to keep redoing the schedule, but that's just, I'm twisted,
yeah,
like that.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. It's kind of a nightmare, honestly. And so Baltimore-Pittsburgh was just canceled. Now they're saying, wait, might be Baltimore and Dallas playing on Tuesday night. But we don't know. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going on. It's just the nature of the beast this particular year. All right, it is time to do that jam that we call Either Or. A few options on life and sports. Either Or starts right now. All right, by the way, guys, I have a really good take to take with you today coming up in our final segment. It's on Jim Harbaugh in Michigan. Don't miss it. Coming your way at 6:55. Lonzo, what do you got?
It's kind of funny that you said nature of the beast, because let's talk about beast mode for a second. Marshawn Lynch told Peyton Manning on his show, Peyton Places, that he did a shot of Hennessy before each game. So he snuck the alcohol in his backpack, by the way. And took a shot or a shot and a half before every game. So taking a shot of alcohol before work, is that onsides or offsides? Is that what you do before the show? I'm just curious. Because there are days where I'm curious.
No, Lonzo, I would never do such a thing, Lonzo. That is against the rules, and I am, as you well know, I'm very, very much a rule follower here, okay? Very, very much a rule follower. So you know that, I know that, everybody knows that, Lonzo. I'm a rule follower. I would never do such a thing. Shame on Marshawn Lynch. Boy, that's entertaining, though. I bet that increased his performance. No?
Does it make you feel less pain? I don't know. I've never drank before, so you'll have to tell me. Does that make you feel less pain? Does Hennessy do that?
A little bit.
Does it? A little bit.
Yeah, okay. it kind of makes whatever you're doing a little bit more fun, but certainly it's a violation of team rules. Statute of limitations is over now. So yeah.
Does Hennessy and Skittles mix well? I'm just not sure.
I think it mixed great. By the way, Marshawn Lynch, Hall of Famer? That's tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really tough. I say he just misses it.
By the way, it's offsides to break rules ever. So, yeah, it's against. You shouldn't have did that.
You break rules when you try to break Siri's rule of how long it's going to take you to get home. All right, here we go.
Siri is a guideline. It's not really a, yeah.
I'm going to channel my inner John Gruden here. I'm losing my interest in the Dallas and Detroit to the Thanksgiving Day games. I'm losing my interest, Lonzo. Losing my interest. Is it time we make a change here?
That's not bad. It really is. I mean, you're waiting for approval or
no,
yeah.
I need your approval.
Well, I know. But I am a great judge of these things, and that is probably one of the best impersonations you've ever done.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
But it's
okay.
More like you impersonating an impersonator.
You don't even care about the question. I'm losing my interest in Dallas and Detroit in the Thanksgiving Day games. I'm over it.
It maybe you just went up an octave and you're really doing your Will impersonation again. I'm not yet. You know, it's tradition, and so they don't win very much. Dallas
used to win.
It's
boring, man. It's tired. It's stale.
I think it really comes down to who they're playing. And really, the marquee game of that day, which started a couple years ago, is the latest game. But we got it canceled on us this week. Or we'd be talking about that game.
That was the best game, and we got nothing. We got legitimately nothing. I'm flipping around, and I've got like some kind of college basketball classic on instead of I'm supposed to be getting Baltimore and Pittsburgh. And Baltimore always plays Pittsburgh tough. You notice the divisional games? The games are always tighter.
Yes.
I mean, it's great. The divisional games are fantastic. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
It's because there's rivalry. There actually is some rivalry in football. There is a job that pays you a salary and gives you $5,000 food allowance every month. Food Panda Singapore is hiring a person who can uncover hidden gems in the food world, take lots of pictures, and post about it on social media. The job description actually says you need to have optimal metabolism, I think that might be you, and a history of posting drool-worthy food photos. So is it onsides or offsides to eat food for a living? Would you do this job?
Can I start right now?
I don't know.
Please? Can I please start right now?
How's your food selfies though? You might want to work on that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
No, I need work.
I can help
that.
You out
with
work.
That. Yeah, I really, really need work on
especially
that.
Especially if it gets you out the door. Lonzo
sends me food selfies that his wife brings him takeout food every single day. I never get any of it.
It's not every day. It's every once in a while.
Every single damn day. I hate it. All right, Clemson beat Pitt 52-17 on Saturday. Guess what we haven't spent a lot of time talking about on this show today? Clemson beating Pitt 52-17. You know why, Lonzo? I think Clemson has a boring problem.
I was going to say, yeah, it's kind of boring.
Does Clemson have a boring problem? I channel back to something Tony Dungy said when he was the coach of the Buccaneers. They beat the Falcons 9-7. Three Martin Gramatica field goals, including one at the buzzer. And he was asked a question, do you feel a responsibility to play an entertaining brand of football that the crowd will enjoy? And he said, and I'll never forget this, quote, no, I don't, and we'll bore them to 15 more wins just like this one. Clemson, 52-17. I'm not sure what the topic is there, Lonzo. I do topics. Does Clemson have a boring problem, yes or no?
Yeah, they do have a boring problem. And they only had one good opponent all year, and they actually lost to that opponent. Whatever the circumstances are, they lost to that opponent. They're not going to – how many games do they have left? Two? They're going to win both of those, probably by the same margin, if not more. And probably unless something major happens, like more COVID outbreaks or something like that, probably won't hear a lot about them on the show, more than likely.
Yeah, you know, it is really sad, but they do have a boring problem. If you're a Clemson fan listening right now, what is compelling?
Oh, their blood is boiling. How dare you call that team boring?
What is compelling about
that? Is winning boring, Mark Ryan?
Well, yeah, that game lasted 57 hours on Saturday. They kept going to replay, and it was just boring. You know, it's my job to be compelling to you, and I'm sorry, guys, that you know there's not. We can talk about the game. I'm happy to do a segment talking about the game. We're doing that. But in terms of compelling content, I don't really find a lot there in that game on Saturday that would make for compelling radio. All right, Lonzo, what do you got?
All right, is the fact that people tuned into the fight Saturday to see Jake Paul fight and not to see Mike Tyson fight proof that boxing is dead or that a YouTuber is a bigger star than one of the baddest men of all time?
It is proof that we have had no entertainment over the last year, and that we will buy anything. Lonzo, it was blowing up social media. Did you buy it?
No, I told you I would not buy it. But I will. My daughter went somewhere to watch it, and she's like, "Are you? I'm going to watch the fight." I was like, I thought she was talking about UFC because there's UFC going on. And she's like, no, I'm going to watch the Jake Paul fight. And I said, so you didn't mention Mike Tyson. You mentioned Jake Paul. Yeah, I want to go see Jake Paul lose. Like, okay, so generational.
How did Jake Paul, how did a YouTuber beat Nate Robinson?
That's not his first fight. He's fought a couple times. And he's been training pretty hard, and I'm guessing Nate didn't. I saw the knockout. I didn't see the fight. Like I said, I didn't buy it. And wow, if you spend all that money and you got to see Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. tie, wow, that was really worth it.
Well, Mike Tyson won the fight. So says everybody. Roy Jones did legitimately nothing the entire time. I hope we get to see Tyson fight again. I don't know if we will. I sure as hell don't want to see a rematch of that.
The only fighter I want to see fight boxing-wise that I'll pay money for right now is Tyson Fury, and he's probably not boxing again until next year or sometime.
You don't want to see somebody die in the ring, Lonzo. Come on. I got to be honest with you, and this probably says a lot about me that I don't want to be said. I was jealous that I wasn't ordering the fight. I was jealous of everybody posting about this, and I couldn't see it. I really wanted to see it. Mike Tyson did something for that sport that no current boxer could do. No other boxing match today could have me like, oh, man, I really wish I was watching this. Not a single one. I'll watch if it's on. If I'm at a party and it's on, I'll watch it, right, post-COVID. I'll watch it. I'll enjoy it. But this one I really wanted to see when it was on, and I hated that I didn't get to see it.
I also saw a headline that, and I didn't read it, that Tyson was on some sort of psychedelic drug when he did it, too. So who knows who he was really fighting?
Who knows who he was really
fighting?
He could
have been fighting Godzilla, King Kong, somebody. I mean,
I don't know if you can believe that, man. I give Tyson a lot of credit. He looked rock solid, and he looked like a rock out there, man. It was cool. It was cool to see. All right, a take to take with you closes the show next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan. We are ESPN Upstate. Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm ready. Coming up on a Super Tuesday episode of Offsides with Mark Ryan, is the Gamecocks opening a stepping stone job? Try not to be insulted because a lot of people think it is. And can you win a national championship in Columbia? That plus, can we stop, and so much more on a Super Tuesday episode of Offsides with Mark Ryan, which can only be heard right here on ESPN Upstate. All right, so I've been teasing this over the course of the show today, and, you know, Jim Harbaugh is under fire at Michigan right now, big time under fire, right? I feel like I'm talking about the president, big league. But here's the reason why, and I firmly believe this is the reason why he's under fire. Do you remember when we had the author, John Eubanks, on the show? He wrote the book Overtime, all about behind the scenes at Michigan. And when I asked him point blank, I said, how many programs of the main programs, Power 5 programs, what percentage are cheating? He said, Mark, at least 75% are cheating. I said, what did you find at Michigan when you were there? No cheating whatsoever at Michigan. Folks, you know the saying, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. Jim Harbaugh is doing everything on the up and up in a world where nobody is doing everything on the up and up. And I believe that is a big part of the reason why Michigan and Jim Harbaugh they're struggling. Now, you've heard me say Jim Harbaugh is an old school coach in a new school era, and I don't feel like his message is resonating with Michigan Wolverine recruits today. Well, why is that? In part because he's not showing them the love that other schools are, as it pertains to suits, as it pertains to money, as it pertains to mopeds, as it pertains to automobiles, as it pertains to all of the above. Harbaugh and Michigan are following the rules and are at a serious disadvantage in an era where literally no one is following the rules. Why would I go to Michigan, coach? I don't care about tradition. Illinois is paying me $50,000 a year. Sorry, coach, I'm going to go to Illinois instead. The modern era doesn't give a rip about history. They're tuned into the Wiffham channel. What's in it for me? Michael Sathakis says the yearly Heisman hype train that they drum up for multiple players each year is compelling, especially considering you get to watch Dabo not let anyone get enough touches to actually get it and take the spotlight off of him. You just hate Clemson, Michael. You really do. Back tomorrow for a Super Tuesday episode of Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Monday Night Football coming your way next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.